May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. If he were here today from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 3. Can you guess what the number one question forest rangers get? Number one question they get. Is it, where does the trail go? No, that's not it. Is it, how long does it take to hike it? No, that's not it. Is it, will we be able to see bears and wildlife? That would be my question, but no, that's not it, right? The number one question asked of forest rangers is this. Can you tell me where the trail starts? Can you tell me where the trail starts? Really, that's really important. You know, that's why I carry this whenever I go. It tells you where the trail starts. It's a Bible. No, it's the hiking Bible. So I asked this morning, where does the trail start? Where does the trail start if you want a relationship with God? A lot of people will tell you it starts here and here. It starts with Muhammad. Nah. It starts with bathing in the Ganges River. No. Right? Starts with reading the Book of Mormon. Heavens, no. You know, that's not where the trail starts. So John the Baptist is profiled in our scripture for today. We know him as the forerunner of Jesus, who pointed to Jesus because he's where the trail starts. It starts with Jesus. Now, John the Baptist was a prophet, and like all the prophets of the Old Testament, he was a bit of an eccentric. A bit? That's an underestimate of how eccentric he was. John lived in the desert. He wore wild clothes, camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and not much more. He was unmarried, and like most unmarried men, he survived on fast food, locusts and honey. Very fast. John was Jesus' cousin, and Jesus would say of him, that among men born of women there has arisen no one greater than he. John the Baptist was a great man. There had not been a prophet who had arisen in the land of Israel for 400 years until John the Baptist came. John was a celebrity, and were he alive today, he would be a celebrity today. In fact, people would go miles and miles, hundreds of miles to come and see him. What would they go out and see? Why would they be attracted to him? Well, he was absolutely fearless, completely sold out to the Lord. Nobody owned him. He was a pawn to no one, and he spoke the truth like no one had spoken it in that day. You know, we need that even today, don't we? We need to hear the absolute truth with no sales pitch, no this, no spin. That's John the Baptist. That's why he would be a celebrity today. His message was repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had an incredibly tough task that God had given him. And he would today if he were alive today. Because the religious leaders, right down to the average person, was conditioned not to hear the truth of God's word. Not to hear it. But rather to hear the truth the way they saw it. Among the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were smug and contented in their false beliefs. It was a culture like ours where people judged by appearances. There were major deceptions throughout the land, just like there is today, and people who couldn't and wouldn't handle God's truth. John's mission was to bring the bad news first. To plow up hearts, to break them up. Not initially to harvest, No, but to plant. He was sent to kill self-righteousness. Kill it. To expose the religious leaders who were leading people away from where the trail started. If he were here today, he would call pastors and leaders, church leaders, who rip up the Word of God so they can sin, who tell that there is another way to have a relationship with God outside of faith in Jesus, who teach people to reinvent or ignore the Ten Commandments. He would call them, as he did back then, snakes and vipers who are going to experience God's wrath unless they repent. In essence, John's message was about repentance. Repent comes from two Greek words. It comes from meta, which means to change, and neo, which means to think, perceive, understand with the mind. So repentance was a sense, a change of mind that would lead to a change of behavior. It was actually the first words of the gospel, really. Well, it started with John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near or at hand. But Jesus would repeat those same words. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Right? In him. The word of the disciples' teaching, Mark 6:12, they went out and preached that people should repent. First word in preaching that Jesus gave to the disciples after his resurrection is that teach people to repent. Repent is the first word in Peter's powerful sermon, in the Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2. And repent was the word Paul preached in Acts 17 when he was in Athens. And they had all these different gods. And he said, all people are to repent, to change their ways, and come and find the true path, the true start of the trail that leads to a relationship with God. So what does it mean to repent again? It means to change our mind that leads to a change of behavior and heart. Jesus gave a parable that illustrates this wonderfully. It's the parable of the two sons. A man had these two sons, and he comes to the first, and he says, go and work in the vineyard. Could you imagine a son saying something like what this first son said? I will not. Yeah, if they were a teenager, I could imagine that, could you? I mean, I will not. But later he thought about it, and he changed his mind, and he went and worked in the vineyard. So the father goes to the second son, and he says the same, go and work in the vineyard. And the second son says, I will, sir. But he didn't go. So Jesus was before the Pharisees and the scribes and all those teaching the way he was teaching. And he said, who did the Father's will? And of course, it was the first son. And then came the punchline for Jesus to give to them. Prostitutes and tax collectors are entering the kingdom ahead of you because they believed John and repented. And in essence, you didn't. Right? You didn't. But let me talk to you now. You know, by nature, and I include myself, we're all resistant to God's will. We come into the world like that, resistant to God's will. I don't want to work in the vineyard. I don't want to work in the vineyard. People who came to John were hearing a different voice, one they hadn't heard before. It was God's voice. And in listening to that voice, they were moving out of denial. Denial of their sins. Denial of the state of their hearts. Denial of their need to be forgiven. A flood of people came to John confessing their sins. And they came with a realization, I do need to be forgiven. I do need to be on the right path. They needed to change. They needed to have no other gods but the one true God. They needed to reform their language. They needed to make worship, true worship, a priority. They needed to honor authority, do away with anger and malice, stop living in lust and feeding their lust, stop playing fast and loose with money, quit cutting people down, stop this continual desire for more and more stuff, coveting everything. But I want to tell you, repentance, the change, means nothing if Jesus is left out of the equation. In fact, it's not even possible to repent with Jesus out of the equation. John started his message with, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, near. Up until Jesus appeared, the entrance to the kingdom of heaven was closed. That's right. The patriarchs and the Old Testament believers in God were waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, to pay their entrance into the kingdom. With the coming of Jesus, the gates are open wide. The kingdom of Jesus Christ was established. And it is right now. The kingdom of God is open to all who would believe and by grace enter. Where is the kingdom, you might ask? Where is the kingdom? Is it near Belgium? Is it in New York? I don't think so. Where is it? It's in the hearts of those who believe in Jesus Christ and where he reigns. In other words, the kingdom is here to all who believe, where Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. John the Baptist said, I can baptize you with water for repentance, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm glad you said that. Fire. I always wondered about that. You know, as a pastor, I can encourage you. I can counsel you. I can sermonize to you. I can go long on that one. I can instruct you. But there's one thing I can't do. I can't give you the power to change. I can't do that. All I can do is point you to Jesus, who gives you the power to change. Because with Jesus comes the Holy Spirit. You have to go to Christ Jesus. You have to believe and have faith in him. He is the one who died for your sins, took on them and gave you grace, and opened the gates of the kingdom. Go to Jesus. You'll be well received. Tell Jesus your sins. Tell him that you need him in your life. Tell him that you need his power so that you can change, so you can get on that right path, the very path he said he was. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. Come to communion when we have it, and there you'll receive the grace of Jesus Christ in a way that is most personal and beautiful. And Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, your baptism, and if you haven't been baptized, please see me after the service. We can do it right here if you believe in Jesus. Your baptism opened up a flowing river that continues to flow in your life, cleanses you, makes you holy. And it will continue to flow unless you walk away from it, which you have the freedom to do. In other words, turn off the spigot. Right? Once baptized, you're always connected. Don't turn it off. Don't walk away from it. Go to Christ. He has come to you first. He has hold of you first. and he will drench your life in the life of God, in the divine invasion of your life. And he will bring a fire to your life, a fire burning in you, burning out the rubbish of your life, your sins, and all the wrong paths you've taken in your life. He'll burn them up. In other words, take them away. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. If you're going to repent, if you're going to change, if you're going to have a relationship with God. One last thought, and I hope this is clear. I'm not sure it was so clear in the 8 o'clock service, but I've heard people say, I want to turn my life around. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to change my habits. I'm going to try hard to keep the commandments. I'm going to repent from my sins, and I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. You know, I love hearing that. And I've also known people who've said that it lasted about a month, or sometimes even 2 weeks, right? But I still love hearing that. But I must tell you, that's the baptism of John, not the baptism of Jesus. If John were here today, he would say the same thing to you. You committing your life and saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. That's the baptism of John. That's human effort. You need Jesus. You need his baptism. Your efforts are not enough. He brings the power so that you can change and be on the right path. He brings the Holy Spirit into your life. Receive him for what you need. You can't do on your own. He came to bring you his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of your efforts, so nobody can boast. The baptism of Jesus. I want to end today and say, is there any change you need to make in your life? Right now, is there a change you need to make? Have you gone down a wrong, have you made a wrong decision? Has one of those sins of the Ten Commandments help illustrate, has you, it grips you, comes back to you time and time again? Remember your baptism. Remember Jesus, who will come and flood your life with forgiveness and grace and mercy and help you. Come to Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Listen to his word. Take communion. Receive the ears to hear what he has to tell you. You see, he's not far from you. His kingdom is right here. Make use of it. John pointed people to Jesus in his day. You know, if he was here today, he'd be doing the same thing. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. Amen. Please rise.